24-24 right now. She's obliterating the record.
Alicia Barnall is about to four-peat the only man in history to do it.
Kara Gotcher, she wanted to do this event. It was important to her. Here in Duluth, how sweet it is. Her arm raised in triumph.
Welcome, everybody, to the Gearing Up for Grandma's podcast, brought to you by Essentia Health. I am Zach Schneider. I'm the marketing and PR director here at Grandma's Marathon. I'm back this episode with another one of our Grambassadors. If you're not familiar with this concept, we selected 20 people from a pool of more than 100 applicants this year to be part of our team. Their role, really simple, to help spread the word, to help us answer some questions, and really just keep the excitement going ahead of our race weekend in June. Today, the Grambassador that we have joining us, I believe in his third year now, as a part, an official part of our team, Tony Lloyd. Tony, thanks very much for joining us.
Zach, thanks so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
We've had you on this podcast before. Last year, you talked with Peter Graves on this show more about your personal running background and your journey from your first marathon to now your status as a runner. And you've done several of our events. You've done other events, you know, around the region and around the country. But for those people, and you can go back and listen to that episode, it's archived, you can hear all about Tony. You've got a fabulous and very interesting story. But for those people listening now that maybe didn't listen then, tell us more a little bit about you. When did you start running? What's been your experience that has brought you to be one of our Grambassadors?
Right. So, I don't want to bore people with repetitive, and I would encourage people to go back and to listen to that. But basically, I was a runner like in junior high school, right? And you know, it was funny because my older brother didn't live with us, and I was never thought of as an athlete. But he went off, and you know, like he was off in college, and he came back, and he came into my room, and there were like trophies and ribbons and things all over the wall. And he goes, "Where did those come from?" And I said, "Well, I won them, you know, running." And he's like, "Mom, Dad, get in here." He goes, "Why have you not acknowledged Tony for all this?" You know, so I was a fairly successful, very, very young runner. But by the time I got to high school, I stopped running because of whatever circumstances. And then I wasn't a runner until I was 42 years old. So I started running late in life. And when I was at a business conference, and a coworker was going out for a run every day. And I love the idea of going out for a run. And we're at this conference in Colorado. And so one morning I asked her, "Can I just go out with you?" And she said, "Sure." And so I went out and did what I now call wogging. It's walk jogging, right? And I was gasping for breath and wheezing and coughing and whatever. And then she would drop me off at the conference center and then go off for a nice fast, you know, 30-minute run in addition. But on one of those runs, she told me, she said, "Next month, there's a half marathon, but there's also a 5K. And she said, "I think you could run that 5K. And so I did. And you know, Zach, you know how it is. Like, you go to the packet pickup and you get your T-shirt and you get your medal and you get, you know, like there's all this accoutrement that comes with it and everything. And when I finished the first race I ran, it finished in a stadium. And there were people in the stands, and they were applauding as I'm going around the last little circle before I finish, you know. And I was smitten, man. I was like, I am a runner. So by that fall, I ran my first marathon, and this was 2001. And I have now run, you know, 20-ish marathons. And I've run grandma's four or five times. I've kind of lost count. I'd have to go back and look. But in 2003, I qualified for the Boston Marathon for the first time, and that was at Grandma's Marathon. When I was 6 years old, I broke my personal best record, and that was at Grandma's Marathon. Last year I wasn't even able to run because I had a stress fracture in my ankle. And yet when I came up, I mean, I was on television because I was open and available and they interviewed me about Grandma's Marathon. I was so excited about it. I got to see it from a different perspective. I sat by the sidelines and cheered for people, and we were out there for hours and hours and I just loved every second of it because excuse me, I cannot miss Grandma's Marathon. It's in my blood now. So I'm in for the long haul.
Yeah, it was not a fun thing for you and for one of our other Grand Ambassadors last year who ended up picking up late injuries, but it was fun to see you both kind of embrace that other side of the race. It was a bummer that you didn't get to participate after going through all the work that we put you through and all the training, but I think, like you say, both of you enjoyed maybe seeing the other side of race weekend when you didn't get to be at the starting line.
Yeah, I mean, whether you're a participant, a volunteer, or a runner, or any of the other, hundreds of different positions that are out there, I mean, it's just such a magical weekend. And so I've already reserved my room. I'm ready to go. I'm doing the training. I'm already in Grandma's Marathon mode here 6 months early.
Yeah, we are very excited to have Tony back and hopefully a little bit of a redemption story for him after being hurt last year to come back and do the race and be on our team again. And one of the reasons that we invited you on this time of year specifically onto the podcast is all of our Grand Ambassadors are invited onto the team because they have their own set of skills. And one of Tony's that we found is a great ability to put things in perspective and to talk about the greater reasoning or the greater lessons learned from a sport like running or completing marathons like we do here in Duluth. And so we chose this time of year specifically with you, Tony, because we want to talk about lessons learned from running and we want to do it in the context of as we head into the new year, into 2024. A lot of training plans start happening starting in January. We start that drumbeat a little bit louder going towards June. But then there's also a lot of people who maybe aren't signed up for the race who are thinking, well, the new year is going to be my year, or this is the year I'm going to do XYZ. And so that's one of the primary reasons we wanted to have you on. What is there an overarching lesson that you can give to people from your 2023? Like, what is the message for yourself as you go into this new year, 2024?
So at the end of every year, I do kind of a reflection exercise. So I look back on the year and I have some questions and I could share those with you if you want. But I have questions that I ask myself every year. And then based on that reflection exercise, I think about what were the success factors and how do I incorporate those and what do I want to change moving forward? And then I begin to sort of like vision cast myself into the new year. And I give that set of questions to everybody that I coach at the end of like a big training block, at the end of a major race, and then at the end of the year. And so it's like three different times that you can sort of reflect and think about what the lessons learned. And I have to say, I am going to steal like a bandit something that one of my coaching clients said this year. So one of the questions I ask is, list the top five success behaviors that you want to repeat going forward. And she said this so well that I just want to repeat what she said. She said there's five things. So one is community. So she joined the Twin Cities Running Club. She got herself some running buddies. She got some friends that could help her, found some people that run her pace. So community was the number one thing. Number two was commitment. I mean, when I put something on her training plan, like she was going to run through a wall if she had to in order to get things done. And she was smart enough to know when she needed to adjust and cut back and, change days and all that kind of stuff. But commitment. Cross training. She also is a rower. She, you know, she goes out on the river and rows. And so all that core building and stuff really helped her to have a successful year. Consistency. So she was consistent to the letter. Like she never let up. She never got distracted. And she was completely consistent. And then the last thing, and I think I'm glad she mentioned this, is she was courageous. And so those five factors: community, commitment, cross training, consistency, and courage. I think, man, if I could exhibit the things that she exhibited this year, I would be so happy.
Yeah, it's a fun time of year, not just in marathon training or in what we're talking about today, but just in life, right? The end of 1 year oftentimes brings around New Year's resolutions and, you know, big dreams for a new year. But for runners, what are those questions that you should be asking, in your opinion? What do you ask of yourself, Tony, at this time of year to kind of reflect on the time gone by? And we've talked with other people that marathoning is such a unique sport because there's different measures of success for each individual, but not reaching a time goal doesn't necessarily mean that you've been unsuccessful or that it's been time wasted. And I think that your perspective that we've talked about over the last several years lends a lot of credence to that thought that, you know, time gone by is not necessarily time wasted, depending on how you look at it.
Right. Right. So, you know, the first thing I like to do is I like to, some business people call this bright spot analysis. Like if you look across, you know, all your training block for the last year, what were the bright spots or the highlights, right? So first question I always say is, what were the highlights of this block of training or this year of training? And as you said, Zach, and I think you're spot on here, you have to define success in your own terms. That maybe it's a string of workouts that went well. Maybe you hit a personal best or maybe you didn't. Maybe you connected with a new running community like Jen, the woman I was talking about a while ago, or maybe it's something else for you. So the first thing to do is to think about what were the highlights of this block of training, and then what did you do in your training and in your racing that created those highlights? So maybe you had some particular workouts that you had never done before, and those seem to have contributed to your success. Maybe the way that you stacked your training, where you did a long base building period of time, perhaps, and then you did more speed work later on, or maybe you blended in a lot more cross training this time than you had in previous times. So, and it could be your sleep, it could be your hydration, it could be your nutrition, it could be your cross training, it could be your mindset, it could be any of these things, and so. Thinking about what contributed to your success that led to these highlights that we talked about, and then also who contributed to your success, right? You know, one of the things as running coaches, we always think about, you know, the capabilities of our athletes that we're working with. And so it's easy to go, oh, well, let's see, they ran a 5K, they ran at this pace, therefore I predict that their easy pace is going to be X, Y, and Z, right? So that's all the physicality. But the capability includes your home life, your community, your do you need childcare? I mean, what kind of support do you need around you? So who contributed to your success? And then, you know, you take those and then you list those top five success factors. And that's some of those things that I just talked about, you know, the community, the commitment, the cross training, the consistency, the courage, or whatever those five success factors might be for you. So starting with success, right? Getting in your mind, what does good look like for me? And my good doesn't have to look like everybody else's good. I'm going to pause there. I have a few more questions here that I could share, but I want to pause for two reasons. One, I want to acknowledge I learned a lot about how to do this from Dina Castor. So I just want to give her a shout out. I want to point to her and just say, talk about somebody who understands, as an elite athlete, understands how to do the sort of like, okay, we're done with that. Let's not leave the scene before we extract the lessons learned. So I really admire and appreciate Dina Castor. So I want to acknowledge her for like helping me to understand how this works. But I did also want to pause to just let you jump in. This isn't a monologue, right? It's a dialogue. So I want to give you a chance to jump in there, Zach.
No, you are the guest, and that's why we're fortunate to have you on our team for one and on the podcast. But one of the things as you were talking that I've noticed comes up a lot when we're talking to people about goal setting, especially when it comes to marathoning or any sort of exercise, is that the goals you're setting, and you and I don't think in the scope of this show are going to tell people not to dream big and not to set some pretty lofty goals, but the path to those goals has to be sustainable, which I think that when we talk about New Year's resolutions, oftentimes is where people start to fall short and start to struggle. So as you're coaching people, how do you make sure that the path is sustainable, even though the goal might be really lofty?
Right. I just spoke with a woman the other day, Rosalie, and she's a new coaching client, and we talked about like what does success look like for her, and she's been at this long enough that she knows. So, for example, the Jeff Galloway walk run thing, she knows that the walk part actually sort of demotivates her. She knows that once she gets into that walk thing, like, I just might as well walk the rest of the way. So that's a lesson that she's learned and she's picked up by just observing herself. So she knows that doesn't work for her, but she wouldn't know it didn't work for her if she hadn't have tried it. Right. So part of, learning what works for you is trying different things. But part of what works for you has to be, get a running buddy, get a coach, get somebody who has been at this a while, and think about what is a reasonable way for me to train. So I'll say two things about that. One is, if you recently ran a 10K or a half marathon, and now you've decided you're going to go for the longer distance and you're going to go for a marathon, there are race pace converters that you can go online. Runner's World has a pretty good one that it doesn't just let you put in one race and then say what it predicts your pace. It wants you to put in two or three races into this race calculator. And then based on, if you ran a half marathon and you ran a 10K and ran another 10K, and these were the paces you ran, it can kind of predict about what your marathon pace would be. And so, that's one way to set reasonable expectations. But then the other thing is that whether you work with a coach or you just go online, there are lots and lots of training plans that are out there. And just being honest, when you say, am I at a basic level? Am I at an intermediate level? Am I at an advanced level? I mean, don't sign up for an elite training program, if this is your first marathon. I mean, just admit that you're a beginner. I always say that your goal of your first marathon, or even the goal of your first half marathon, number one is to run and have fun, right? So just enjoy the experience. But then number two is to just simply know what it's like to do this thing, whether you're doing a half marathon or a marathon or a 5K for your first time. Your goal isn't to win. Your goal isn't to place first, second, or third. Your goal is to just experience it and know what that experience looks like. So, that's what I would say is just, reasonable expectations. Don't try to do everything at once. Don't try to bump your speed up too much at once. Don't try to bump your mileage up too much at once. And a good way to do that is to have a training plan that you are following.
Yeah, one of the things we joke about as a staff sometimes is that we wish we could just turn all the clocks off on the race course and not tell people what the time is, because so many people get so invested in the time. And we understand that, you know, there, we host a lot of competitive people. That's why they want to do marathons, a lot of them, and they want to race against themselves or their friends or their teammates, whatever it may be. But if you can throw out the time, just getting to the finish line in any capacity is still an accomplishment, no matter if you're as fast as you wanted to be or a little bit slower or a lot slower. Just getting to that finish line should be celebrated for the accomplishment that it is, no matter what the time is.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think when I first started racing, this was many, many years ago, I was running a women's breast cancer 5K kind of race, the Komen cancer 5K race in the Quad Cities, Illinois. And I was getting near the finish line, and a young woman came by me, and she was about 15 years old, and she had asthma, and she was wheezing so loudly. It sounded like a calliope coming past me, you know, and in my head for just a split second, I said, oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, I cannot finish behind a 15-year-old asthmatic. I just can't do this, right? And then I'm like, Tony, are you out to prove something? I mean, and so that phrase, my race, my pace, came in my head. And other people have said it, my race, my pace. And I think that is a critical mindset to say, whether you're trying to set your, you know, your personal record, or whether you're just trying to, you know, finish before the struggle bus comes along, you know, wherever you are in that spectrum, just keeping in mind, the only person you're racing against is you. And so just, you know, keeping in mind, my race, my pace, run and have fun. You know, these are good ways to keep your mindset right during a race.
The other thing that we hear consistently from coaches or anybody who deals with running groups or similar communities of runners throughout the year is the concept of habit building. Right. And I've run our half marathon once. It was in 2019. My wife has run it several times. She ran the full marathon a couple years ago. So my wife is certainly the runner in the family. And she's very dedicated. She puts in the work. She puts in the time. And whenever she wants me to do one of the shorter races that she'll have somebody to run with in the buildup to a half marathon or a marathon, I find myself needing to redevelop good habits. And say, I'm going to do this every day. I'm going to run at least 1 or 2 miles, or I'm going to get in the weight room and I'm going to do some cross training. And then if I'm not having something to train for, those habits sometimes fall off and then it's harder to get back in. But as you approach a new year and you approach a new training cycle, sometimes the hardest part can be those first 3 or 4 weeks when you're developing the habit of good training, of good nutrition. And then the rest of the year kind of falls in line after that.
Yeah. I have a story. It's kind of non-running related, and it'll take a second here, but let me just share this with you. Several years ago, I was at a writer's conference, so people who write books, right? And everybody there had a manuscript that they had brought that they wanted some editor or a publisher or someone to review. And the keynote speaker got up at the beginning of the conference, and he said, by show of hands, how many of you here are writers? And he held his hand up high, and maybe like 25% of the room, they raised their hands. And he goes, okay, put your hands back down. Let me ask this a different way. How many of you have ever written anything? And 100% of the hands in the room go up. And he goes, writers write. That's how you know that you're a writer. And he said, here's the thing. Do you think that an insurance salesman gets up on Tuesday morning and says, oh, am I really an insurance salesman? I'm not sure I'm an insurance salesman, right? So that insurance salesman wakes up on Tuesday morning knowing that he is, and, you know, could be she, right? But in this case, he is an insurance salesman because they sell insurance. That's what he does. And he said, writers, if you write, you are a writer. And so the first thing you have to do is get it in your head, who am I? Am I a writer, yes or no? And that was how he kicked off the writer's conference. And it stuck with me all these years later. So the thing that is a little brain trick I have found is to make up your mind, am I a runner or am I not? Because if I am a runner, Runners run. It begins with an identity. All habits begin with an identity, knowing who you are. And so once I identified as a runner, there was never any question in my mind about whether or not I would follow a training plan and run 5 days a week, whatever it was that I had on my plan, that I would do all the things. And if I, you know, if there's a long run on the weekend and it's on my plan, I'm going to go do that long run. So you need those two things together. First, you have to figure out, am I a marathoner, a half marathoner, a 5K-er? And therefore, if I am, I will do the things that are required of me to do. So it all starts with identity.
Yeah, and it's a really good appetizer, actually, to one of the podcast episodes that we have scheduled for next month with another one of our grand ambassadors who's going to talk about the concept of finding your why as a runner and identifying the why behind the what. And this goes along with setting new goals as we head into a new year as well, is if you have a really strong purpose, a really strong reason, a really strong why for setting these goals, that makes the path toward hopefully achieving them a little bit more impactful to yourself, and it gives you a little bit more accountability internally to get up and do the things necessary to accomplish the goals that you've set for yourself.
Absolutely. And I will leave it to someone else to talk all about that, but I would just say amen, right? I'm wearing my Mile in My Shoes sweatshirt here as we're talking. You know, it's an amazing organization. I believe they have bibs available for Grandma's Marathon. They're a charity partner up there. And so, you know, find yourself, find your why, find your reason. And whether that's with a charity partner, if it's some other, you know, some other big why for you, then choose that why and follow it. And it'll keep you going when the big snows come and you've got to put on that extra layer and bundle up. Well, you know, that'll get you out the door.
Yeah, Tony and I are both talking to you from Minnesota, where the snow hasn't hit us yet as we're talking, but some of the colder temperatures have rolled in and we expect some of the white stuff here, certainly after the turn of the year. If you're aware that stuff doesn't exist, then bless you and enjoy it. But for everybody in our area of the world, we know that the next couple of months are not the most fun to be training outdoors. And it brings us around to something I wanted to go back to. When you talk about finding a community and finding some people to help keep you accountable, to help keep you motivated throughout the training and hopefully into race day. That's one of the reasons why we brought together this group of Grand Ambassadors to try and create a virtual community from people all across the country who have done our race before, who can hopefully be a support system for those who need it. We've established now an official training group here in the Duluth Superior area. That's going to be led by our coach, Tony Stensland. It starts at the end of January. And not to get too far into the sales pitch of this thing, but if you want a group and you want a community and you're in that Duluth Superior region, go to our website, grandmasmarathon.com. There's more information about how to sign up and what's included in that official training group. We think it's going to be a wonderful resource. There are virtual options as well if you want access to that and you don't live in our immediate area. But Tony, this is where I want to talk about the concept of community, because you're part of running groups. You've been part of several over the years, but you're also one of our Grand Ambassadors who has done a really good job over the last couple of years trying to even further that concept and create more of a sense of natural community for people who will be coming to Duluth in June, and you've got a run coming up next month to kind of start that beat going again in this training cycle.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're going to have fabulous gifts and prizes, so that should get people's attention. So Run Minnesota has an organization called the Polar Bears, and I just love them because, you know, I mean, you need a crew if you're going to get up on some of these cold, icy mornings and get out the door. So Run Minnesota has an organization, a group called the Polar Bears. And, you know, I'm part of an organization called Twin Cities Run Club. There's a whole bunch of other organizations here. One of the things that's happened here in the Twin Cities where I'm located is a lot of the running community is beginning to sort of come together. I wouldn't call it merge, but I would just say, you know, we're starting to collaborate a lot more. And one of the physical spaces where we're collaborating is the Twin Cities Motion Center. And so Twin Cities in Motion, Mile in My Shoes, Brave Like Gabe, and then in the near future, Girls on the Run, they're all housed out of the Twin Cities Motion Center. And on January 27th, which is a Saturday at 8 a.m., we're going to meet at the Twin Cities Motion Center. We're inviting all the run clubs. We're inviting, if you are a charity partner and you've got bibs available and you want to, you know, make those available for people while they're there. So we're going to kick off kind of our Twin Cities, collaboration around Grandma's Marathon and the Twin Cities running community here on January 27th, 8 a.m. at the Twin Cities Motion Center. And I would just invite anybody in the area to come. We'll be giving away some amazing products from Grandma's Marathon. And so it'll be a good time.
Such a non-obligatory event, which is why we like it, right? You know, it's not signing up for a training group. It's not signing up for a run club. It's just going to meet a bunch of like-minded people. Maybe you sign up for one of those groups or those charity partners in the future. Maybe you just make a couple friends and you guys can meet on Saturdays and go for your long runs together. I cannot count the number of times my wife has woken up on a cold Saturday morning with 10 or 12 miles ahead of her. And the little devil on her shoulder is saying, why can't you just, you could skip this one. You could go to the Y and do 4 miles in the treadmill instead, but it's Lauren who is waiting for her, or Stacy who's counting on her to be there, that gets her out the door and creates that extra little bit of accountability that helps you get ready for race day in June.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, right now is a great time to be building up that base. You're not really in full-fledged Grandma's Marathon training mode yet. Some of those, you know, schedules might go out 16 weeks, 18 weeks, et cetera. But right now is a time to get a really solid base under you. And so, you know, spring PRs are set with winter training. If you get out there in the winter and you build a solid block of miles, then when that first week of the training calendar comes up and it says, hey, run 30 miles this week, it's not shock and awe for your body. You know, like you've sort of built up whatever the initial mileage is that you're going to be starting with. And you don't have to necessarily be doing a lot of speed work or a lot of, you know, quality workouts or high quality, high stress things that might hurt your ankles or your knees or your whatever. You know, right now is a time to just build a really solid base. And having those running buddies, having that running community around you, it's the perfect time right now to be building those bonds and finding those people. There are so many different paces that people run. There are some people who gel and some people who don't. We also have a lot of affinity groups here in the Twin Cities. We have Latinas Outdoors. We have Native Women Running. We have, you know, all these different affinity groups that are out. So you can find your people. You can find someone that you'll enjoy training with. And a good way to find them is to come out on January 27th and join us then.
Yeah, it's a great and easy New Year's resolution for everybody listening who needs one is put yourself out there, go to one of these meetups, go to an informational meeting for a running club and see how you like it, because our guess is that you'll find somebody there that you can connect with and develop a relationship with. And if you've done that, then you've succeeded. So, Tony, we appreciate it. Thanks so much for joining us. I really enjoyed the conversation as we head into 2024.
It's always a good time with you, Zach.
If people want to follow you, Tony, on your social media, keep up to date with your journey ahead of our race weekend here in June, where can they best find you on social media?
Yeah. So my last name is unusual because it's Lloyd, but it's spelled with one L. So it's L-O-Y-D. And on most social media, you'll find me Tony Lloyd. On Instagram, it's @AnthonyLloyd. ANTHONYLOYD. If you start at Instagram, you can just figure out where else I am around the web. And so I'm all over the place. So just Google Tony Lloyd, you'll find me.
It's only taken a couple years, but now I think 100% of the time I don't put the second L in your last name when I'm typing out emails. But yeah. Thank you, Tony, for your time. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Zach.
This Gearing Up for Grandma's podcast is brought to you by Essentia Health. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcast. Please subscribe, rate us, and tell your friends. Grandma's Marathon, proudly presented by Toyota, Members Cooperative Credit Union, and ASICS. I am Zach Schneider. Until next year, everyone, be well.